The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of trails. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
Jefferson.
Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa,
Janet Chandler,
Lynn Carpenter,
and we are here with Jefferson State of Mind, the radio program.
Mine.
From KCNR Studios in downtown Reading, 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, 1460 AM. We are your talk radio, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. That's KCNR1460.com, and we archive forever.
And ever. Amen.
So we are here today, and we're going to be going through some important business, or what could be important business. If you have a question or a comment, the phone number is 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. I do want to make an announcement about a fundraiser that's going to be happening on February the 15th. It is for Mountaintop Media, where you can get the truth from your news. Many programs on there, Sovereign Minds, Mountaintop Times, Patriot State of Mind, just to name a few. We have, of course, our show, the State of Jefferson. Jefferson State of Mind, the podcast. This fundraiser is going to be held at the VFW Hall in Anderson at 3210 West Center Street. The doors open at 4 and dinner's at 6. Lots of good stuff for auctioning and all that. Also, we will have a no-host bar, and tickets are $40 each. A table, you get 8 people for $300, and it also includes an entry into an exclusive drawing. So if you want to pick up forms for that, you can go online and find that. And also, if you want to go to Jones Fort or Northern Roots, both of those businesses have flyers and have a way you can get a ticket. So,
and you're going to hang out with a bunch of patriots.
You are.
So come on, come all.
I like your shirt.
Thank you.
Very
best
nice.
Way to spend an evening.
It really
yes,
is.
Yes, it is.
So we're here with Rich Gallardo, and there has been people who are wanting to recall our DA, and he's going to explain that as far as the recall goes, and also talk a little bit about why. So, Rich, give us some highlights, buddy.
Good morning, everybody. Morning. Volume okay?
Yep, just speaking of the
volume's
mic.
Good.
Okay,
in
the mic, you're good.
So I wanted to, so we'll cover a few things. We'll talk about, you know, some generic parameters on doing a recall for a countywide seat. We'll talk about some reasons, of course, absolutely. Not all of them. There's actually too many to list. I have several pages, but we'll hit the highlights. And then I'd like to, after the half hour break, I'd like to see if we can get some fresh information that I don't even know that's out there. I'd like to see if somebody can call in if they have a story about the district attorney's office that would help support our cause to recall her.
Well, if they do, but see, with us.
If they do.
In doing that, we'd have to substantiate it.
Well, no,
so
we can't
just work on rumor or opinion.
Oh, absolutely.
Go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of my, that's one of the things I always say when we're gathering information for this recall. I absolutely will corroborate everything.
Mm-hmm.
And if I say I'm still investigating, there's a couple things I will mention today that I will tell you I've done some research on, but I'm still investigating. And I will report on the facts that I've found.
Okay.
So absolutely, we're going to corroborate everything. Absolutely. And first, you know, let's talk about what's happened in the last couple of years in California. So in 2022, San Francisco, they recalled their district attorney. I believe it was 62%, 63%. That's a big number.
That's huge.
That's a huge number.
Yeah.
Last election, so what, 2 months ago now? Last election in Alameda County, they recalled their district attorney. And it was, again, 63 or 65%. And on that same ballot, they recalled the Oakland city mayor.
Hmm.
So, just saying.
So what was the reasoning behind the
recalls? Yeah, what were the grounds for the charges?
Yeah, what were they doing that the people didn't like?
Well, and I don't have an answer to that question. But my point to mentioning this to you is that the people are willing and able.
And they did it.
To get rid of local prosecutors that they don't want there anymore. And a local mayor.
Well, you know, if their local prosecutor, DA, is recalled, they weren't as bad off as Shasta County's DA as far as productivity. Is that
we don't know. Well, that we don't know. But my
well,
point,
we do know because Shasta County was the worst one.
Yeah, but the compare. Yeah, but as far as comparing to Oakland or San Francisco, we're not. You know, I don't have that comparison.
Okay, gotcha.
I don't have
That's
those
fair.
Numbers. I don't have those numbers. But That's my point fair. Is, the people are ready and willing and have recalled district attorneys in this state very recently.
Mm-hmm.
And we know how to run a recall in Shasta County.
Was there one done in L.A. too, somewhere down there?
In Ventura County, they got rid of their ROV officer, but the ROV officer down there is appointed, so they got the Board of Supervisors got rid of it. But before we go any further,
Gascon in L.A. County was voted out of office.
That's what it was. Okay. Yes. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
that
you.
One too. Yeah.
Thank you.
So. Anyway, before we go any further, but what are the grounds? I mean, just because you don't like somebody, I mean, we have recalls in San Francisco, we have recalls in Oakland as a mayor, we have recalls, in Oakland. Okay, but what are the grounds? What's the criteria? I mean, what are the grounds for being able to recall them to where it's going to be successful? Other than I don't like you, you know.
Well, yeah, I say that generically, of course.
Right.
So a little bit of background. Stephanie Bridget, she's been the DA since 2017. She was appointed at that time, and then she ran unopposed at the subsequent election. And so a DA in California, they have, almost blanket authority in their prosecutorial discretion. And what they do or don't charge and prosecute. And as Terry and probably you two also know, there's a little bit of supervision oversight at the Attorney General's level of our DAs, but it's basically hands off. For the Attorney General to get involved, it's got to get bad. All right? let's define what's bad. Well, right? What's bad in Alameda is different than what's bad in Shasta, right? We have different standards and morals and ethics than probably the voting base in Alameda County, right? We're probably a little different. Maybe a little more conservative. Just maybe, right? So, again, I'm gathering a lot of facts and data statistics. I'm looking at prior cases that she has prosecuted or not. I'm looking at current cases she's prosecuting or not. I've talked to several people involved in current cases. I've talked to people involved in past cases. And a lot of the specific, and we will talk some specifics today, but some of the specifics, again, I'm not going to talk about because I haven't finished my investigation to corroborate.
Okay, so let me get some
clarity. But I have lots of specifics.
Okay,
today.
Okay, that's good.
Because absolutely.
I want to make sure we have clarity because if we're asking people to recall somebody, we've got to give them a reason.
Well, and again, right, today we're not going to give away the farm today. We're going to give some big ticket items as to why this movement has begun. Okay, and then once we file the notice of intent, hopefully by the end of this month or so, okay, that'll go public. There'll be news stories about it. I also hope to hold a rally probably in mid-early March after the notice has been filed in order to get more people to show up to discuss why Bridget should be removed.
Mm-hmm.
Rich, before we get too far away from a question I have, you mentioned that there is some supervision of the district attorney by the Attorney General of California. According to the Constitution, then would you say that our sheriff is more under the control of the Attorney General than our district attorney?
Well, that's slightly off topic, but I'd have to go back and reread that section of the California Constitution.
It's Article 5, Section 13, and
yeah.
The Attorney General is the supreme law enforcement officer in the state of California, and at any time, if in their opinion, and it says that in the California Constitution, if in the Attorney General's opinion, he can enter into a DA's case, any kind of case, anything, including whatever the sheriff's doing.
So it would be about comparable to what they can do with the sheriff.
The sheriff might have, the sheriff's more of the investigation portion.
You know what I'm talking about, the control, the supervision that the state has over our law enforcement officers in Shasta County, whether it's the district attorney or the sheriff. So they truly are not independent from the state.
Not 100%.
Okay.
Not 100% independent, but very close to that, by the way. And so, again, you know, the issues, and I've also reached out to the local law enforcement unions. I'm still waiting to hear back from them officially. But I've also offered them the option of getting me some information, even by, you know, through proxies if necessary, because I don't want the law enforcement unions to take an official stance on this recall. I'm not going to ask them to do that. If it's going to be their choice if they do. But what I need from them, and there's, trust me, there are so many stories. I've talked to cops, and a lot of other people that I know have talked to cops, but I've talked to some. They have done, you know, a lot of work, especially in felony cases. And you know how much work it takes to just put together a good felony case, all the time and effort and resources, and then they send it up to the DA. Mm-hmm. And the DA, for whatever reason, and I'm going to try to be fair to the DA, although I want her gone, you know, and her prosecutorial discretion again, for some reason she decides to not prosecute. But this has happened so often and too often with many different law enforcement jurisdictions in this county that they're in essence, they're very unhappy with her. They're very unhappy with her because of that, you know, the time and effort. And I couldn't imagine happening over and over again if I was, you know, I'm retired law enforcement, but if I was current and the DA, the prosecutor just came and said, no, we're not going to do it, or we're going to plea bargain it so far down that all your work you did was mostly for nothing. So I'm hoping to get some information from law enforcement, and, of course, that will all have to get corroborated also through court records. And that's one of the things I've been doing just this last week is actually going through official court records. So, you know, that's part of the corroboration process.
And that's not a time consumer, is it?
No, not at all. No, there's no time involved there at all. So... And, again, I'm in talks right now with, a fiance of a gentleman who is the longest standing Shasta County jail inmate. 5.5 years. I'll just say his first name. It's Lance. 5.5 years he's been in. Still in today, by the way. 2 mistrials. Now, the allegations were serious. They were rape and stuff like that. But if you go to the county's court and the county jail's website, you can see the original charges he was booked under 5.5 years ago, and 80-90% of them say dismissed next to them. Now, he's had 2 mistrials in 5.5 years.
Wow.
His third trial is going to come up either this month or next. Mm-hmm. And we happen to have a really good – we in this room, we know one of the attorneys that's working this third trial, and it's going to be a slam-dunk dismissal. This gentleman hopefully will be out in the next month or so. And then it is, and the stories that I've heard on the malfeasance from the DA's office, can we say Brady violations? Oh
yeah.
My gosh!
Yeah,
that's
so
what they do there.
We're gonna. I'm wanting this gentleman, Lance, when he gets out, probably will tell his story to us. Because once this case is done, it's done. Now he can talk about what happened. Right. Right now, it's still pending. So, I think that's going to be a bombshell. With how the DA's office is basically persecuting him at this point. 5.5 years and 2 mistrials? Are you kidding me?
Wow.
Okay. So that's going to be an interesting story if and when that's told. But I have factual information from the court records and the fiance who is by this man's side this entire time. So that's going to be interesting to go there. But let's talk about what are we unhappy about with the district attorney? Let's talk about it. There's only a couple things. No, actually, see this, Terry, I have three pages here. Now, here's some stuff, right? We need to remind our fellow citizens of things, because unfortunately people, the news, something makes news. The next week, unfortunately, too many people, they just forget it. They just forget it. They moved on. They're stressed. They're working. They're paying the bills. They just get stressed. But there's certain people in this county that we have a very good memory, and we make lists. I have many lists. I have many, many lists of many different things. So do we remember Children's Legacy Center?
Mm-hmm.
The DA, I don't know if she's still on that board or not, but she was on the board at the time of the Zog Fire settlement.
Mm-hmm.
She was the one in charge of talking with the PG&E lawyers, talking with the victims of the Zog Fire, right? Those several people that died, their families. So Stephanie was the one that choreographed and orchestrated a settlement. Now, the Zog Fire settlement was, it was either 50 or 55 million, something to that effect. And 7 or 8 million or so went to Children's Legacy Center. And Stephanie's official answer to that was, well, the victim's family wanted, said that's what they wanted.
That's what she said.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry. Now, first of all, morally and ethically, was the Children's Legacy Center, were they involved in the fire? Were they involved in working for the fire? Were they involved in responding to the fire? Were they involved in rebuilding for the fire? They weren't involved at all. Okay? So the fact that was even entertained to give, what 8 million out of 50?
Yeah,
let's call it 20%. Let's just round it to 20%.
Yeah.
To give 20% of that money to an entity that had nothing to do with the fire, that by itself should never have been entertained. Period. That is not the right thing to do. The right thing to do is to put the money into the rebuild, all that stuff, right? That's the right thing to do. Now, while Stephanie maybe could have legally done what she's done, and that's topic for another day, that's not the morally ethical thing to do. Period. That was a bad decision on her part. And trust me, a lot of us are going to remember that for a long time.
Now, do they have a board there, right, at the Legacy Center?
Yes. And they've been renamed, I understand, and merged with another group. And I don't want to go into that because I don't have that in my memory banks at the moment. But that's my understanding.
But I would assume, having served on boards, that when they're keeping minutes for this Legacy Center, whatever you want to call it, that they're going to take a vote on things like this.
Oh, yeah.
And then they'll see, you know, did they do it? A show of hands? Do they? Mm-hmm. Is it a unanimous thing? What? However, they counted the vote to accept this money. So everybody that's on that board is just as guilty as she is, if that is indeed the case.
Well,
so,
yeah,
those are
know.
The kind of things we really have to look at deep dive and dig into.
And one last thing on that too: did any of the people on that board that may have, as Wynn's saying, voted for that? Right. Did any of them get raises?
Yeah, exactly. And yeah.
Did
and
they have a benefit?
And gee, did they all of a sudden start hiring and created new positions because now they had this windfall?
Yeah.
By the way, I records acted Children's Legacy Center regarding this very matter.
Mm-hmm.
I did a records act. Now, they're a private nonprofit of sorts. Okay?
Okay.
I'm like, hey, you know, you don't have to give it to me. And they, of course, they don't have to give it to me because it's not a government document.
Right.
And that was the answer to me. I said, I want all the minutes and the agendas related to the Zog Fire settlement from Children's Legacy Center. They said, nope. You don't get them because we're not a public agency and they're not government documents. So they refused. Oh yeah, I tried to get them. Trust me, I did for those very reasons. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see what was being talked about.
There you go.
With that board. Nope, didn't get them. Another reason to get rid of her. The Zapata trial. Splashgate. Right?
You mean the one
two misdemeanor charges against two defendants, Carlos and the other guy. Forget his name.
Yeah.
They used multiple assistant DAs.
Oh, yeah.
Multiple assistant DAs to charge two misdemeanors against two guys. Okay? Now, this is my opinion, but that was extremely politically motivated.
Oh, absolutely.
All right?
I don't think there's any question. It was totally
okay, politics aside, that's a misallocation of resources.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Okay? If you wanted to prosecute them, have one freaking, excuse my French, I'm starting to get a little upset, have one assistant DA prosecute a simple dual misdemeanor case. Are you kidding me? Have one assistant DA prosecute it, not three.
I wonder how much
total misallocation of resources. Speaking of misallocation of resources,
her staff,
we have information from 2022. In fact, I have one of the two investigations. I have one of them in person. I've already read it, and I have it, where she misallocated government resources
yes.
and government property by campaigning on government property. Okay? That's already done and in the can.
When you say campaigning for her own race?
For her own race in 2022.
And her staff helped her.
And her staff.
Bro.
Now, there's a second report, which right now the county is refusing to give me. Actually, they're saying we have no record responsive to your request, Rich Gallardo. Oh, trust me, I'll get it. It's a fraud investigation related to that first investigation using campaign resources, time, and property for campaigning. There is a second one. It has to do with fraud. It's been finished and filed. I'll get it. Trust me, I'll get it. All right. And that I don't want to guess what the fraud part of it is, but it's done.
Mm-hmm.
It's done. And by the way, that I have from a good authority, a good source, a very reputable, trusted source, that investigation is sitting on the California DOJ's desk. Okay. Then that's all I want to say there. So the Zapata trial. During the Zapata incident downtown here, one of our local leftists came back in the building with a gun. There's pictures of it. And threatened Mr. Zapata with bodily harm. That's a crime, by the way, especially since the first incident had concluded already and the parties had separated.
That was shown in the court case. The video was shown.
And witnesses under oath testified to that very action about this other individual carrying a gun in and threatening the first individual. This is all witness statements under oath in court.
Well, the DA that was prosecuting that, the assistant DA that was prosecuting that, said that even though that could be true, it isn't the issue they're in court for.
Well, and that's true. There were no charges for that.
That's true.
But, wow. And that's okay.
That's what he said.
But terrorist threats is likely a felony.
You think?
I would think, right? So
then
the statute of limitations is not up on that yet, probably. Felonies are usually 3 years to 5 years. And then for sex crimes, the statute of limitations is much longer. I mean, we're talking 25 years.
So then the person that came in with a gun, are they a gun owner?
I don't know. There was no investigation done. Was that gun legally obtained? Was it legally stored? Was it legally transported? Did I say was it legally anything? We don't know because it was never investigated.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
You would think that would have been done. It's hard to believe that. Well, no, it's not.
So let's talk about the West Valley high school incident that happened also.
No, we only have about a minute and a half to break.
This one I can finish before break.
I can break right now, and you can do the whole thing.
Okay, yeah.
Let's do that.
If he's ready.
Let's do that. Let's go to our break, Dave, and time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Amen.
Break down. Break down.
Every morning at the office, you can see him arrive. He stands 6'2" and weighs 195. Now, some don't like him. Some think he's hip. But all agree he gives a lot of lip. Big Don.
Big Don. Big Don.
Big Bad Don. The Donald.
Big Don.
Now, it's no secret where the money came from. He appeared on the scene with a mighty sum. He doesn't smoke, never had a drink. But about that hair, his barber stinks, Big Don. Now, the road to the White House is muddy and rough. If you want to win...
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
Jones's Fort Gunshot, serving Shasta County for over 50 years. It's a new year, and we are very excited about the new leadership for our nation. Jones's Fort is offering Hornady 5.56 NATO 75 grain tap precision ammunition on sale now for just $199 a case. That's right, $199 a case. This ammo delivers phenomenal performance for your AR-15 style rifle. Jones's Fort, serving all your firearm needs since 1962. And yes, Jones's Fort will pay for your ammo background check.
Attention hunters, Blackburn Apparel is your local manufacturer of top quality, unique outdoor wear. Hikers, fishermen, or hunters, Blackburn Apparel will have you looking and feeling fantastic. And they have a shop right here in Reading on Crossroads Drive. Blackburn Apparel carries clothing for every outdoorsman, and they also offer a uniquely designed line of accessories and gear. Check it out at shopblackburn.com. Then come buy your selection in the showroom and save on shipping. Blackburn Apparel, shopblackburn.com, or visit the shop at 3058 Crossroads Drive.
Are you ready to roll the dice and hit it big? Get down to Wind River Resort and Casino and take your shot at the brand new craps table. Feel the excitement, the thrill, the rush. Whether you're a seasoned player or just getting started, craps has something for everyone. Pass line, hard ways. Come hit your point and win big. Roll in to Wind River Resort and Casino today. Your luck starts here. For complete details, see WinRiver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Cascade Curations in downtown Reading is a unique destination location. Cascade Curations is a vibrant hub celebrating the creativity and talent of local artists, musicians, and designers. Clothing racks are stocked with upcycled and upscale thrift, as well as new clothing unlike anywhere else. Whether you're seeking beautiful artwork to adorn your home, new music to inspire you, or musical instruments and gear to play, Cascade Curations is a must-visit spot to immerse yourself in Reading's thriving arts and culture scene, located in the Foundry Square next to the Dip.
Thank you, Sally Lou.
Gee, I wonder who that's about.
We're back on Jefferson State of Mind. If you have a question or a comment, or if you have something you want to talk about in relation to the proposed recall for our DA, phone number is 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. 4567. Rich, continue on. You're getting right into a good subject there.
Yeah, and you know what I'd like to do right now, since we're on a fresh half hour, I want to talk about some of the logistical things of this recall first, and then we can go back into some more stories. I have plenty of stories, by the way, and what's not released today will be released, trust me. So, you know, we have some of the recall folks that have volunteered with me for this recall that did the last recall, and so that's a good thing. Because we know how to do it. We've done it.
Yeah, it's countywide.
And it was successful, and I'll talk about that.
Yeah.
And so we're going to get it started. That's not an issue, right? Filing a notice of intent, that's actually fairly easy. Filing with the newspaper, that's pretty easy. All this stuff is pretty easy. Formatting the petition, getting it, you know, submitted for approval.
Make sure that, you know what happened with the newspaper.
Oh, I remember that slash S slash.
Yeah.
But that was because there was multiple recalls occurring at one time. That's why they needed the S.
Yeah.
Today it's just one person.
One, there you
so
go.
So we don't need the slash S slash. It's
there,
one person. So.
There you go.
So, again, we have a good team so far put together. I'd like a few more people on the team. And again, anybody involved that wants to help in the background or do anything else, we're going to keep everything confidential.
Can you give them a contact number?
I will do that right before.
You could do it twice.
Okay.
It's fine.
I will. So the phone number, is 530-962-5168. Go ahead and call, leave a message there. That's actually a message phone. So call and leave a message. And the email is recall@DA Bridget. And Bridget is spelled B as in boy, R-I-D-G-E-T-T at protonmail.com. So call and email there if you want to help. You have questions, you have stories, it doesn't matter. So,
Rich, when is the DA's term of office up?
So she isn't up for another 4 years. A couple of years ago, the state passed a law which moved the sheriff and the DA races. The sheriff and DA races used to be opposite the general presidential election. So, but this law passed to move the DAs and the sheriffs in with to align with the presidential general election. So all DAs and sheriffs right now are serving a one-time six-year term.
But it's so just for one time.
It's a one-time six-year term. So she's still in office for 4 years. So getting back to the organizational part of it, this is actually going to be less work to recall her because we don't have to worry about maps, right? With the recall Shasta, we had 3 maps out of the 5, and we had to make sure to stay in the maps. This time, this is a countywide recall. Any registered voter in the county.
How many signatures do you need?
10%. Because we have over 100,000 registered voters, we have about 113,000. We need 10%. So that's 11,300. We'll need the buffer, of course, right, for the invalidation rate. And maybe we'll have 3.5% invalidation rate, like the cry recall. Wouldn't that be wonderful? If Taller only invalidated 3.5%. Wouldn't that be awesome? Okay. But we're going to collect maybe 20% a buffer, right? 20-25% buffer. So let's call it 14,000 to 15,000. Just so everybody remembers, I was part of the informal petition validation rate for the recall Shasta prior to us submitting those to the registrar. I'm not going to give an exact number. We had over 10,000 signatures, okay? And that was only with 3/5 of the voters trying to get signatures with 3/5 of the voters.
Gotcha.
Now we have the entire county to get approximately 14, we'll call it 15,000. Mm-hmm. And we have 40 more days that we did with recall Shasta. We have a total of 160 days. So we have a 40 additional days.
And when does that start? When does the day one start?
Day one starts when the petition, when the petition's formatted and sent to the registrar's office, and then there's a back and forth, maybe. There's 10-day windows for the petition to be evaluated for form and content, and then kick back, either approved or we have to redo the petition, fix a couple things.
Okay.
The day that petition is approved and that's day one. The day that petition is approved by the registrar, that's day one of 160.
So they can approve it at 4:59 p.m., and that's day one.
Well, whatever.
No, I'm just asking.
I don't know that, right? Okay. I mean, because it's days, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So typically that's, you know, I'm not worried about the timing as far as – I get your point, but I'm not really too concerned about that.
Okay.
So, and this is the beauty. This is another good thing is we – just using the periphery around Reading, right? Anderson, Happy Valley, Shingletown, Burney, Fall River, Palisadro, Lakehead. I can go down the list, right? I honestly believe we could probably get at least 10,000 signatures and not even step foot in the city of Reading. I really do. Hmm. I really do. So that's one of the things I'm going to try to do is I need signature captains in these unincorporated areas. Because I think we're going to be able to get probably 2/3, if not more, and not even touch the city.
Okay.
Now, we're, of course, going to do this in the city. Again, we did this before, right? so 160 days. And the beauty of it is by the time we file and we get the petition approved, we're looking at probably mid-March or so, roughly. Well, guess what? Springtime's coming. Summertime's coming. All the outdoor events. Remember we did that? When we went to the 4th of July event for Recall Shasta, my God, we had 6 tables in that entire, you know, with 10,000 people there. I mean, I'm just saying, we're going to have a lot of our – we went to the fairgrounds, and we had 2 tables right outside the fairgrounds. They tried to kick us out, but, of course, you know, it didn't happen because I was there. So this the timing of it. If this petition was to come out, say, in August, September, and now we're sitting in the winter, it just makes it harder to grab signatures.
Sure.
Right. So this is a beautiful thing that we're likely going to start signature gathering right when spring starts and everybody starts coming outside and activities and events, right, where we can sit, as you did too. He sat at baseball games locally and got harassed. And then I showed up and the cops left, right? And then he stayed and did signatures. So I'm just saying, this is a beautiful time for that window to open. So that's very advantageous to us. So there's the logistical part of it. This is actually going to be much easier for us to do. We still have to put in the work, but it's going to be a little easier for us to do this. Absolutely, this. It's a good thing.
Okay, I have never been a Stephanie Bridget supporter. Oh. I did not vote for her. I don't like what she has done. But convince me that we should put in the money, the time, and the effort for a recall. Is that really the best way to handle her incompetence?
Well, let me answer your question with a question. With being that she's been in that office for 7+ years, do you think she's going to change the way she's done business in the next 4 years that she stays in office?
No, she will never change.
Okay.
But perhaps we could force her, encourage her, put the pressure on her to just resign.
I think Janet brings up a really good point. Because, see, the problem is where do you go to get justice? Okay, mm-hmm. So... I mean, a recall is one way you can get justice. I don't think the Attorney General of the State of California is going to help.
No.
And I don't think that we're going to probably – well, we might get help from the Attorney General of the United States if there's something that's a felony that is federal. But I don't – I mean, I don't know of another – I mean, I'm not saying there isn't one, but maybe somebody can
–
you can call in and tell us because I don't know.
How about deprivation of civil rights under color of law?
Well, yeah, but that's still going to be something that, well, yeah, you're talking about Title 42, 1983. I get that. Yeah. Okay, but the thing is that you can do that,
mm-hmm.
but again, you have to have somebody prosecuting. Maybe it would be the Attorney General of the United States, but I don't know. I mean, you know, I just don't see anything in our state that's going to help us other than a recall at this point. If that's what people want to do, I mean.
Right. Well, we just need her gone. Right. What happens after she leaves, honestly? Can we hope for prosecution and all that? Of course we can, but we just want her gone.
It just seems at this point to be a hard sell. The people were out with their pitchforks and their torches for Modi, but I don't see the pitchforks and torches for Bridget.
Well,
Although, like I say, I am not a fan.
No, I'm with you. You're absolutely correct. I think you're correct because we had the red, white, and blueprint for Modi.
Yes.
We actually had, I mean, that one thing where he was interrupting people at the Board of Supervisors had 1.5 million hits.
He was on public display.
Public display. And she's not.
In his arrogance.
And she's not.
Well, in fairness, so what will happen is once we file the notice of intent, that will make news. Okay? That's going to up the awareness with the people that are watching, you know, fake KRCR and fake Action News. Right? Even that audience is going to say, oh, my gosh, there's a recall? What's going on? Okay, the curiosity is going to start building there. I want to try to organize some kind of a recall DA rally, and the key there is to have people that have been victimized by her office. That's the key, to have them at the microphone telling their horrid stories. That's going to be really key for that event.
And unfortunately, what happened at West Valley, you know, all those kids were minors at the time, so... Nothing ever came of it, which is beyond repulsive.
Yeah.
So something of that magnitude needs to be
right. And discussed. So we have to do a public relations, obviously, right? There was a lot of good public relations for Recall Shasta. And, yes, Red, White, and Blueprint was phenomenal and absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But, see, Miss Bridget, she's done the same as Modi did. Okay, Modi dug his own political grave. Well, Bridget's already done the same. We have to just capture the information, and we have some of it. We have to capture it and put it out for public consumption.
I think a lot of the voters.
She's done herself in already.
Yeah, I know. But I think a lot of the voters and a lot of people are afraid of the power that she has and what she can wield as far as her power with false charges, anything else she wants to do.
Yep, absolutely.
And so I think a lot of people are afraid of that, and I think that the average voter, I mean, they really have to have a reason to stand up. Like with Modi, he was a supervisor. Okay, right. So what's he going to do? What's he going to do? Mm-hmm. She can throw law at you, make up stuff.
She can send investigators to your door.
Your doorstep.
Oh, look, that's on my list here.
She already did that.
That's on my list. During the Recall Shasta, she sent people to Recall Shasta proponents and the Recall Shasta chair. Mm-hmm. She sent DA investigators to their homes.
I thought she sent probation officers to the homes we were talking about.
I think it was
and the probation officers, well, or probation investigators.
She sent people in authority.
See, that's another thing, too. So I'm not, I mean, there isn't a disagreement, I don't think, among most people that there's some shenanigans. There's no question about that. But to have real teeth isn't going to be having a few people stand up in a park and talk about what happened to them. And because if somebody did something nefarious, even if they repented and everything, they still did something nefarious, and the DA can use all kinds of different things. So,
are we burned out on recalls? We did Modi. Yeah. We did Kevin Cry. And here we go again, and people are saying, I'm fed up with this.
Well,
so,
and again,
she needs to be recalled. What can you do to overcome the reticence of the people to do it again?
No, that's a hurdle. Absolutely, that's a hurdle. And another hurdle we're going to have is we're in petition season, as we all know, right? Now there's petitions being filed with the Secretary of State and for the 2026 ballot, right?
There's even a recall effort now for Governor Newsom people just get tired of this recall business.
Well, and unfortunately, our petition tables, if this happens, and I think it will, our petition tables are going to be sitting next to all these other petition tables. And even me as somebody who's actively engaged in local politics, when I go to a store and I see even one petition, even I'm thinking, all right, how long is this going to take, right? That's normal to say, how long is this going to take? I have stuff to do.
Right.
And people are going to walk up to these buildings and places and see 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 petitions. That's going to be a big hurdle to overcome to have, right? We're going to have some kind of a sale, right? Like we did with the posters, right? We're going to have something eye-catching that at least gets them to our table first.
Right.
And this is just human nature. It's just human nature, right? You're like, oh, my God, I got my kids. They're yelling. They're screaming. I got to make dinner. I have, 30 minutes before I have to be here and do that. And there's 6 petitions in front of me. So that's going to be another hurdle for us. And right now, we can be very tactful, and I'm not going to get too deep into it now. There's so many different ways to gather petitions, as we did with Recall Sasta. So we're going to do what we can to try to not to be one of 6 petitions sitting in front of
us. We have to convince the people there's a reason to do it.
No, we're getting, I get all that. Well, I get all that. And that's some of the stuff we talked about.
Okay.
You mentioned West Valley High School. More information on that?
In general, there was, the news reported it as a hazing incident, but what it really was a very violent sexual assault. Exactly is what happened. And I've talked to, I haven't directly talked to the mother, to the parents of these kids. I've got third-hand information, but I've had this same third-hand information from so many different sources that it lends towards the credibility of the allegations that there was actually physical violent sodomy that occurred at that school. And the DA, there was an investigation done. The sheriff showed up, did a report, and the DA looked into it, but there was never any charges. And so that concerns me. That concerns me.
So we have, that's an ineptitude, but you're right. The thing is that I think a lot of people are gravitating toward, especially with President Trump winning, gravitating toward, it isn't just that you're doing this or doing that, the lack of this, the lack of that, the point of this, the point of that, the politics of this, the politics of that, but you broke the law. And I think that we're all kind of tired of people who are in power, elected officials, that break the law and there's no consequences. So that's where I always go back to, where do we go to get justice? And, that I think is something that we need to be understanding. I mean, if there are laws broken, where do we go to have that elected official, appointed official, et cetera, where do we go to get justice to where they're prosecuted to the full extent of the law like any other citizen would be? Where's the accountability?
When the law enforcer is also the lawbreaker.
Yeah.
And so, that's a good point. So being that she is the chief law enforcement officer of Shasta County, she is to be held to the highest standards of law enforcement.
By who?
Us.
The people.
Well, then you've got to get somebody to prosecute.
But she is to be... No, we're not talking about prosecuting. We're talking about having the people remove her from office. She is to be held to the highest standards, all right?
Yep.
Again, I have the one investigation already in person. I have that one. I will get the fraud one also. Those two by themselves, with a moral just society, should be enough to recall her because she should be held to the highest standards. She should have never used her office and her resources for personal campaign.
Right.
Ever. Period. full stop. That by itself should recall
her. I heard she admitted it.
Oh, she did. She did. It's admitted. And it's confirmed, and an independent investigator has sustained the allegation. Again, I have that report. That by itself should be enough to remove her, period. She should be held to the highest standards, period. Now, the rest of this stuff is all frosting on the cake, but it's very, very important frosting. How about the Mexican restaurant owner under Rico A? Right? He had a 15-year-old girl in there. Whether she was working or not, I don't know, but she made occasion to go into that off in that restaurant. The restaurant owner was doing some nefarious sexual things with her. Report was made. Nothing happened. It wasn't until Kevin Cry had, I think it was the father of the girl, on his radio show. Gee, 2 weeks later, now that Mexican restaurant owner is charged. Do we need a radio show to expose that particular crime in order for the DA to then decide to prosecute? Seriously?
Sometimes does it have to be?
I know, but yeah. you see my point here.
Right.
Okay.
Right,
she wasn't going to prosecute him.
Right.
She was not going to do it. Or if for whatever reason it was delayed, whatever. Okay. She could have come out. Bridget could have said, hey, he's on our radar. We're still investigating. We haven't made a determination, right? She didn't do that. She didn't come out publicly and state why the delay. Right. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
She is not being honest and transparent with that particular case, especially. So it took that to get her to charge.
So another minor situation that was going to be...
That's either. Bigger than minor.
Well, no.
A girl she, being sexually assaulted?
No. A child, a person who is a minor.
A minor.
She's under 18.
Absolutely.
She is a minor.
Yeah.
So another sexual assault on a minor in Chester County that was being delayed or ignored.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how many more are we going to... How many more are out there that we haven't heard of? That are, you know, haven't been unearthed and...
Yeah. Just well, let me give a couple more because we're getting short on time. And let me give a couple of good ones. All right? In 2021, a female teacher at Columbia School brought a registered sex offender on campus for almost 2 years to volunteer. She was bringing this guy on. His name was Sean Green. I'll say her name because it's on the record. Jessica Luschner, teacher Jessica Luschner. She was bringing him in literally the back gates, the back doors, for almost 2 years. Instead of bringing him to the front, having him checked, having his criminal history checked, and formally says, yep, you're good to go, you can come on campus and volunteer. She did that for 2 years. Now, Mr. Green, he was, and this is off of court records, he was charged with two misdemeanors, which could have been felonies, by the way. These are called wobblers.
Right.
He was charged with failing to register as a sex offender, and he was charged with accessing a school property. Misdemeanors. Why was he not charged with felonies? He got 60 days in jail, $600 fine, and 1 year's additional probation on top of his sex offender, whatever probation parole he's got. And that's already done and passed now. And Jessica Luschner, teacher, who brought him on intentionally, via the back door, literally, she wasn't charged at all.
Hmm.
There was nothing in the court, nothing in Shasta County courts with name Luschner. Nothing
so,
there.
So the,
she was not charged.
So the school district failed.
The DA should have charged Jessica with something because and let a jury decide.
Right.
If did Jessica bring in this sex offender knowingly? Well.
Well, if she brought him in the back gate
for almost 2 years.
Yeah.
She
I'm just
knew
saying.
Something was up.
The DA should have charged her with. There's crimes to aiding and abetting and stuff like that. She could have been conspiracy. She could have been charged with that and let a jury decide. And instead, the DA has. To this day, decided not to charge.
And
her.
I go back to
she should have been charged.
Where minors are being victimized. So who knows what happened there? I don't know. But again, another case where minors could potentially be or maybe have been victimized.
And okay, one more.
Three right there that you mentioned here in Shasta County alone.
So here's one more, and this will be the last one for today because we're close to time. November 2023, substitute teacher Stephen Canciani at Cascade School. Behind his teacher's desk with about 20 students in the room, has his pants down around his knees in his left. There's a picture online, and I have the picture.
Oh, geez.
A kid, one of the kids in the front row took a picture at an angle at his desk. And what you can see is definitely you can see his exposed legs. You can see his left arm down his, the front of his pants in class. Okay. Now, that day, somebody complained. Principal or assistant came in, removed him off of campus immediately, called the police immediately. Okay? So here's the deal with this guy. It took a while. Finally, in November, here's the dates here, November or October 9th, he finally gets charged with 16 counts or so, probably one per child.
Mm-hmm.
He gets charged with 16 misdemeanors, annoying and molesting. Molesting meaning bothering.
Right.
Molesting not meaning physically touching. Sexual.
Right.
It's just a generic Penal Code 647, annoy or molest a child.
Mm-hmm.
16 counts. Misdemeanors. Okay, now that case is pending. You know what I found? In the Child Abuse and Neglect Reporting Act in California, Penal Code 11165.1, sexual abuse is defined as, and I'm gonna, now, it's gonna sound kinda graphic, intentional masturbation of a perpetrator's genitals in the presence of a child. So if he's sitting behind a desk in school, and there's a picture of this, with his left hand down his front of his pants, front of his underwear, why was he not charged with this code? Why is he not charged and let a jury decide? If he's sitting behind a desk with his hand in front doing right, there's a good possibility this section applies.
And to Wynn's point, here it is, another crime against minors.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think that, I think that again, to me, this is just really appalling. And folks, I know to you all out there, this is really appalling. I also want to make sure that you share. We need to share this program. This has to be shared, you know. I mean, do you think we should recall the DA? Do you need more information? Here it is. And would you be willing to help? I think those are the things we need to ask ourselves. Mm-hmm. And if we believe that it's something we should do, we need to find justice and do it. Rich, I think that, I mean, all this information is really good. Thank you for that. And the information that you've given to everybody gives them a good, if not a good starting point, then it certainly makes them aware. And give out again, slowly. Go ahead and give out again where they can contact you, how they can help if they choose, et cetera. Go ahead.
Yeah, and first of all, you don't need any experience in a recall, okay? Me and the team, we will train you. We will train you on everything, how to do it, what to do it, and where to do it, and we will train you like we did with Recall Shasta. We will make it happen. We need people even just to sit in the background and help organize, you know, signature captains and signature gathering events. This is all behind the scenes at your table drinking coffee. Just helping doing some of the logistics and not even having to get your face out there if you don't want your face out there. Terry did bring up a point about there's people that are going to be afraid to go after her. I get.
Yeah, especially there's going to be a lot of people that are.
And that's unfortunate. That's very unfortunate that there might be people that are afraid.
It makes the process, it makes her situation even worse to know that she'd be vindictive enough to do it.
Unfortunately, and I'll give the number and the email out here in a second. So I've reached out because I know we're almost out of time. I have reached out to about 15 to 20 law firms in the country looking for a constitutional district attorney. And in that email, I even say, Janet brought it up earlier that, you know, maybe the DA will quit. Well, maybe she will quit, especially when these two investigations come out and all this comes out. And I've reached out, and I've got a couple of referrals, and I've forwarded on to these attorneys. And I said, we may need a new DA by mid-late summer, early fall. Just only in case of, right? But we have to be ready to run this recall all the way through to 2026. But it's possible we may need one sooner than that. So I've already reached out to many, many firms to try to get some folks. I have reached out to the gentleman that ran in 2022, so I've reached out to him. So he's thinking about it, considering it also. But and let's get back to the phone number and the email address, 530-962-5168. That is a message phone. Please leave a message there, and somebody on the team will get back to you. The email is recalldabridget, and Bridget's common spelling with two T's at the end. Recall D.A. Bridget at protonmail.com. So however little, much, or, you know, we just need volunteers. However little time you have, however much time you have, this will take a team. I'd like to have a team of 10. We're close to that, but I still need some more. to run this in the background, and that's without signature captains, by the way.
Rich Gallardo, thank you so much. Thank you for your research. Thank you for your time on this. We will have you back. Folks, you know, we really need to be sharing this program. It's very, very important to the community. This time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Amen.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.